Before we pass the Bibles, I'm just going to take a minute here. Promise I'm not an emotional wreck or anything. We love our Bibles at Refuge. And we love our Bibles because the author has made the commitment that He will love us no matter what. Regardless of what we say or do, no matter how many sins we have in our life, no matter all the wrong choices that we've made, He loves us anyway. Because the author is the beginning and the end. He's the one. He's the King of Kings. So, we're gonna talk about salvation and how it frees us from sin tonight. And I might cry, so that's okay. Will you guys love me anyway? Like four of you will. As long as it's my wife, I don't care. I mean, you know, I care, but here's what Lecrae said. Will you take me as I am? I know the way I'm living is wrong, but I can't change on my own. Try to make it alone. I wonder, how could you love me with my life so ugly when you came down and died for me? Will you take me as I am? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful. We're grateful people that you have made the decision to take us the way we are. Your word says that while we were still desperate sinners, your enemies, you came and you died for us. Your love is immense, and we love you. We ask that you be with us tonight. I don't know if Lecrae speaks for you or not. I know he speaks for me sometimes. There are times when I feel that way. Like, how can I even come before a holy God? I've got all this sin in my life. I've made all these bad choices. I've lost it. And then sometimes I feel, well, I feel like a victim. Like, I just fell into temptation, like I'm a victim.
I sound good, I smell good, and I look good. Just when you think you've had enough of me, I draw you back in. Think you can break free from me? Don't be so sure. I insist.
Jesus will accept us the way we are, and yet we are still drawn by the evil one. He sets these snares for us. He tempts us. He draws us back to the people that we used to be. Those of us who are saved and we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, we understand that there's a holy life and He expects us to live it. And yet, even then, we get sucked in by temptation and it's hard to overcome. I want you to turn to the book of Romans with me, chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Were you guys already there? Some of you were. What page is that on in the House Bible? 784. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Paul, he understood this. There's this battle raging within our spirits. Romans chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 15 where it says this. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. But as it is no longer I myself who do it. But it is the sin living within me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. If I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
I celebrate diversity. Man, woman, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, I don't care. I seek all equally. I devour all wholly. It doesn't matter who you are. I am going to kill you.
Scripture says the wages of sin is death. And we see that at work in this passage. Verse 24, it says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But look at verse 25 with me. Put your eyes on the page. Verse 25, it says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. You see, this is a battle that rages within us. And those of us who have been saved for more than 5 seconds, we get this. The good that I want to do, when I accept Jesus and I accept His love and His sacrifice and the things that He's done for me, the fact that He laid His life down for me, when I accept that, I have this desire in my heart. Oh God, I want to do good. I want to be good. I want to be who You've called me to be. I want to be holy and righteous. I want to lead my friends. I want to be the man I'm supposed to be. And yet, sin is right there with me. And as soon as I let my guard down just a little bit, I fall. I fall. You see, the battle rages on because as soon as we get to that place where we start to feel good about ourselves and we start to get, okay, I am righteous, I'm holy, I get that. God has blessed me and washed me clean and He called me a saint. That's His word, not mine. And I start to feel good about it. Then I get to that place and I decide on that one little compromise. Just that one little thing. Just that one little compromise.
Some might say I'm only interested in the big things, but that's not the case at all. I love the little white lie. I encourage the second glance at that girl. I hope you take that extra drink. One little compromise. Sometimes that's all I need. I am sinners.
Have you ever made the determination to walk away from a sin in your life? Like, I know this is wrong and I'm not going to do this anymore. I know it. I'm not doing that anymore. You walk away. I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. And then for whatever reason, you're in that one place where there's that peer pressure there. And there's that great desire to do it. And you say to yourself, well, I'm just going to do it, but I'm just going to do it a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And the next thing you know, you find yourself regretting a whole sequence of events. A whole slew of stuff happens. And you look back at it and you go, what happened? I wasn't going to do that anymore. And it all started with that one tiny little thing. Just a little compromise is all it takes. You see, I know that you've experienced this because this is common to man. It's Satan's toolbox. He tricks us. He deceives us. He draws us in. He says, it's just a tiny little thing. It's not going to hurt anyone. And then after we do it, he says, you're horrible. How could you do that? You are wretched. God was right about you. He'll never forgive you for that. But what Satan doesn't get is the power of God's love. He doesn't understand. So the question is, Are you feeling defeated? Like, well, if he's got all these tools and all of this stuff, and no matter what I do, he's always going to be hunting me down and hunting me down and hunting me down. Let me give you hope. Jesus Christ has conquered sin. He conquered sin. But maybe you're the one who says, well, it's not that bad because I know everybody else is doing it. And as long as I don't share what I'm doing, as long as I kind of keep it a secret, then it won't be such a big deal. As long as it just stays a secret, who cares? Well, the secrets will catch up to you.
I'm not always easy to see, but that doesn't mean I'm not always around. I'm around every corner. I'm at your home. I'll be at your work. I'm even at your church. But you don't have to look for me because I'll find you. I am sin.
You can't hide from sin. Sin is everywhere. Did you hear him say, I'm even at your church? Did you notice that? I'm even at your church. There's an interesting balance for those of us who preach and teach. The Bible says that clearly that we will be judged more strictly. And for good reason. If I stand here and say to you, obey your father and your mother, and yet when my mom calls me on the phone and asks me how stuff's going and I yell and scream at her and tell her she's a horrible person, how could you possibly trust me? I'm not saying I do that, by the way. I love my mom. But there's this balance between sharing and not sharing. And I am a very fortunate youth pastor because I have a great accountability partner and we meet weekly. And I share with him all the stuff, the thoughts that enter my head, what I look at, what I say, what I do, who I hang out with. I don't keep anything from him. And the reason is because I know this truth. Secrets are what bind you. Secrets are what chain you up.
You can't tell nobody about me. Besides, we got a good thing going. You trapped, nowhere to go and no one to turn to. You actually think people could forgive you? Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. I am sin.
And maybe this is the one that has a hold of you. Maybe this is the one that's dragging you down. You see, it's the world that says if you don't tell, you'll be okay. But it is your youth pastor who's telling you from the Word of God, you need to reveal it. If there is a chain that's ever held you, it's your secrets. It's the things you don't want to tell anybody. You don't even tell your best friend about that. That horrible thing that happened. You don't want anybody knowing. That terrible thought you had. The thing that you did to the person that you cared about most. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I think I have it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says this. Tell me I have it. Says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. You see, there's that expectation that we will confess our sins. It's so hard. You have to admit that you messed up, that you blew it. It's back to that idea. Okay, yes, I know God, but does God know me? Well, I open the doors of my heart and say, search me, O God. And know me. And not only do I have to do that, but it says confess. That's an act of the mouth. I have to say it out loud to somebody else. If you confess with your mouth your sins, he is faithful and just. It doesn't have to be a priest, but it does have to be somebody who you are equal to spiritually. You can't just tell a random stranger. And the truth is that this is such a cleansing exercise that literally there are websites that are devoted to this. ComeShareYourSecret.com. Get it off your chest. Google it. I'm serious. You will find websites devoted to people who are confessing their sins. Lists and lists of people who are confessing their sins. And it feels better to confess your sins, but the problem that they have is this. Only Jesus can forgive them. You have to ask Jesus for forgiveness. And I promise you, when you experience it, you'll never want to go back. You'll never want to go back. So here's the thing. We can never give up and we can never get in. And when we do mess up, we know how to deal with it. We confess our sins, the Bible says. And He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can't stop seeking righteousness. We can't stop seeking God. Because sin will never stop seeking us. Regardless of what we do or how wise we are, sin will follow after us.
The younger you are, the quicker I pounce. And the older you get, the more tricks I've got. The more naive you stay, the easier I ensnare. And the wiser you are, the more sly I become. The stronger you get, the more I attack. I am sin.
You will never stop. Never, ever, ever stop. The only antidote is Jesus Christ. It's the only antidote. That's it. And if you don't have Him, you will fall. You will fall. In fact, some of you have already experienced that. Some of you already experienced that and you feel helpless. And you ought to feel helpless because the truth is you are helpless. And I am helpless. Without Jesus Christ, we cannot do it on our own. Without His healing, His love, His sacrifice, we are helpless. We cannot do it on our own. Only God can forgive us, and He will. I'm going to share with you guys, I know you're going to be excited about this, some vocabulary. I'm going to teach you a little bit of vocabulary. I know you guys are pumped, very excited. Here's the vocabulary. The first word is justification. Justification is salvation for your soul. It is eternal salvation. When you are justified, it means that your eternal destiny is no longer hell, but now it is heaven. You are justified. If you have confessed Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, if you said, I know you are who you say you are, and I'm trusting my life with you, I give you my heart, Lord, then you are justified. It's an accounting term, actually. It means the books are balanced. It means that whatever happened on the left, all the sins that you committed, all the things that you did, He paid for in full, and you are justified. Now, the second word is sanctification, and sanctification means the salvation of your earthly life. It means that when you walk around in this place, you don't have to be a slave to sin because you are sanctified. You're justified because your eternal destiny went from hell to heaven. Justification. Now you're right with God. But that doesn't mean you stop sinning. If you've been around a Christian for, you know, a couple of seconds, you've probably seen a Christian sin. Sanctification means that Christian can now go to God and ask for forgiveness for that sin. When you sin, did that mean you're not going to heaven anymore? No, it doesn't mean that. You have already been justified. You're eternal. You're heaven bound. It's over. But when you sin, you still step away from God. And you need to have restoration in your relationship with Him, and that's sanctification. Sanctification is a big deal. And for some of us who have been justified and we're just walking out our lives as Christians, we have to be sanctified over and over and over. with the renewing of our mind, washed in the blood, cleansed and fresh, holy again and again and again. There's this desire in us, if we know who Jesus is, even a little bit, there's this desire in us to be with him, to know him more. And yet every time we sin, we step away from him. And then we have to go back to him and say, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've fallen again. And he washes us anew and he draws us back in. He sanctifies us. He sanctifies us. Flip your Bibles back a page. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. It says this. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. By the way, people still say this. Well, if your God's so good and grace is so good, then just sin all you want because you can always ask for forgiveness. Paul makes it pretty clear that that's not God's plan. Shall we go on sinning? No. Verse 2, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? By the way, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you've given him your heart and you have not been baptized, come talk to me. You ought to be baptized in water, immersed. I'd be happy to do that. Come talk to me. Verse 3 again. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Sanctified. A new life. Verse 5. If we have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. You see, when you put on Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you say, you're my Lord, I bow my knee and my heart to you. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you. Then you're also saying this, I am dying to my desires. There's a death that occurs. I'm dying to the things that I want. All of the stuff that used to make me happy and I would seek after. All of the nonsense of this world. I'm dead to that. I have died and been buried. But Jesus, through the glory of God, has raised me back to life. It's a sanctification then that occurs because you have said, I'm going to live for you, Jesus. I'm dead to that. Yeah, my friends are out drinking, but I'm dead to that. They want to go and have sex, but I'm dead to that because I know that that's not God's timing. They want me to gossip and talk badly about my friend, but I'm dead to that. They want me to swear up a storm and call people names and ridicule people and talk about them behind their back, but I'm dead to that. You see, there's all these things. The world says you have to attain. And God says, no, seek Jesus. And then all the things you care about will be taken care of. Seek Jesus first is what the Bible says. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to gossip and slander. I'm dead to foul language. I'm dead to the effects that alcohol is fun. It's not fun when I wake up with puke in my hair. I'm dead to that. This is sanctification when you are dead to that, buried in baptism. Look what it says in verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5. Look with your eyeballs. If you have been united with him like this in death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Earlier I said, if you're keeping secrets, the secret is a chain that holds you to sin. Everywhere you go, you're dragging this sin along because you have a secret and it chains you and it holds you and it prevents you. You have a secret. Confess your sins one to another and you will be forgiven. Reveal your secret and you will be forgiven. But look also here what it says. If you are dead to that. Verse 5 again. For we have been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died is freed from sin. It only makes good sense. If you're dead, you don't desire beer. Dead men don't go, man, I really want to have an extramarital affair right now. That was a little bit funny. Right? Dead people don't claw out of their grave and say, I want to drink. They don't do that. There's not even any zombie movies about that nonsense. Like the zombies all getting up going, man, I can't wait till I can smoke a bowl. No. It doesn't work like that. I'm dead to that. If you have been raised with Christ, you're dead to that. So what does all this mean, Pastor Chris? What does all this mean? Let me set this aside. Let me break this down for you guys. Look at my face. Here's what this means. If you are not, will you go back to the vocabulary one? If you are not justified, then you can never be sanctified. If you have not given Jesus Christ your heart and said, Lord, I'm laying it down, it's yours. Because I know that when I captain my own ship, I just drive it into the beach anyway. I'm really not that good a pilot. When I'm the one at the helm, when I'm making the decisions for myself, it seems to always end up lousy anyway because I mess up my relationships and I yell at people when I didn't even mean to and I get angry and I make stupid choices and then I get whatever in all kinds of trouble. So I'm going to give it over to you. Jesus, you be the boss. You take over. I'm going to figure out what the rules are. Not that rules are important, but because I know that your desire is for me to be healthy and well. Your desire is for me to live and to live abundantly, to live a full life. That's your desire for me. So I'm going to let it go. And then only after you've died to yourself and you said, okay, Lord, you take over. You're the boss. Then can you be sanctified? Jesus has to be in charge first. But let me turn this upside down for you. If you're not sanctified or justified, you are a slave. You are a slave. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you've been trying to quit doing something for a long time. I know this thing is bad for me and I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I can't stop. I tried to stop. I don't want to do it anymore. I know when I do it, it hurts this person and that person. It hurts my parents. It hurts my friends. It hurts. It messes things up. I know that it's bad and I do it and I don't like doing it and I want to quit doing it. Without justification, you'll never be able to stop. You'll never stop sinning. The Bible says you are a slave to sin. A slave doesn't have a choice. A slave doesn't stop showing up for work on Monday because he's tired. Dude, I just need a vacation. Shut up, you're my slave. Go to work. It doesn't work like that. You don't go, well, I'm sick today. No, you're a slave. Go to work. Well, I got really drunk last night and I'm a little hungover, so I'm just going to stay home. No, you're a slave. Go to work. You don't have a choice. You are a slave to sin if you don't know Jesus. And you know it in your hearts because you try to stop, but you can't. But here's what it means. If you are justified, if you have made your heart right with Jesus, you are no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to go on sinning. Some of you didn't hear that. You don't have to go on sinning. You can stop sinning. It says in the scripture, it says when Jesus died and was raised, it says he conquered death, sin, and the grave. It's broken. The chains are broken. The chains are broken. If you're justified, you don't have to go on sinning. If you're justified, now your sin is a choice. You can choose to sin or you can choose to walk away from it. I'm not saying it's easy. It's hard. But now it's possible, and before it wasn't. That's what I'm saying. Some of you have never been justified. Some of you have never said, okay, Jesus, I know I'm messing this life up, and I want you to take over. I want you to help me make decisions and to make good choices, and I need you to save me. I know I can't save myself. Some of you need to do that. My hope is you can do that tonight. But some of you have already done that, and yet you carry on as if you were a slave to sin. But Jesus said, you're no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to go on sinning. Please, God, rescue me from my tribulation. And he says, yes, I can do that. I don't want to put you on the spot, Michaela, but will you just play some pads softly, please? Will you turn these lights off? O-F-F off, please. We're going to pray here in a minute. And I'm going to ask you guys the tough questions. Some of you tonight, you need to do 1 John. You need to confess your sins. Because he is faithful and just and he will forgive you your sins and purify you of all unrighteousness. You need to confess your sins tonight. And maybe that's you. And maybe you've never confessed your sins to another living, breathing person. But I'll give you the chance to do that tonight. And some of you, you need justification for your souls because you didn't even know there was this thing that I needed. It's Jesus. I didn't know I needed Jesus. And here I am and now I know. I need Jesus. I need him to be the king. And some of you need to confess that you're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. And I'm going to give you a chance to do that. So I'm going to pray. And we're going to get a chance to do all three of these. And you leaders, you be praying. The time is now. Lord Jesus, we confess our great need for you. You are our Savior. Not a collective Savior, not the Savior of the whole earth. Oh, you're that for sure. You are the Savior, one for all. But you're my Savior too. For you came not just to rescue the billions, but you came to rescue me. And I need you to rescue me, Lord. I need you to rescue me. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask, are there any of you that want to give your heart to Jesus for the first time tonight? You're saying, I need Jesus to rescue me because I don't even know if I'm going to heaven or not. I don't even know what's going to happen to me after I die. I just know that I'm a slave to sin right now. That's what I know. If that's you, will you look at me right now? Are you looking at me for that reason? Praise Jesus. Okay. slave to sin. That's right. I know I am, and I need help. I can't do this on my own. Anybody else? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray, and you're going to follow after me. It's going to be an echoey prayer. But don't pray it if you don't mean it. Here we go, an echoey prayer. Dear Jesus, you guys don't get the idea of an echoey prayer. Let's try it again. Dear Jesus, I love you. I know I need a Savior. Please be my Savior. I have sin in my heart. Please forgive me of my sin. Dear Jesus, I want you to be the King of my life. I thank you, Lord. You are God. Amen. Some of you, something about when people decide that they want to have Jesus in their heart makes me happy. Just a little bit. I think the heavens rejoice. Praise the Lord. Some of you need an opportunity to confess your sins. The Bible says, confess your sins one unto another and pray for each other and you may be healed. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and He will forgive us our sins and purify us of all unrighteousness. And we're going to have a minute for that. And I'm going to ask some of my adult leaders to kind of scatter around here. And if you need somebody to confess your sins to, hear me now and know my heart. Get off your butt and go get prayed for. Some of you have delayed this long enough. Get off your butt and go get prayed for. But in the meantime, some of you didn't realize that sin's hold on you had been broken and that you're freed from sin and you no longer have to sin. And I want to pray for you tonight. And I want you, if you're ready, I want you to take a stand. I want you to stand up in just a moment when I tell you to. I want you to stand up and say, and by standing, you're saying this, Lord, I know that I have sin in my heart and I keep on sinning. And I know that you have broken the chains of sin and I no longer have to be a slave. You've set me free. And I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to recognize for my own self, and I'm going to be recognized by the others here, I am not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to sin. If that's you, stand to your feet. Don't look around and see what everybody else is doing. Make a determination on your own. If that's you, stand to your feet. Say His name with me, church. Jesus. Jesus. We're going to pray together now, church. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these people. I thank you that they're willing to take a stand and say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I recognize that you have broken the chains, that I don't have to walk in sin anymore, that I am free. I recognize your promise. You said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I don't have to walk in sin anymore. I don't have to walk in sin anymore. I can be set free. Oh, Jesus, I pray for these. Don't let it be just something that they did, some youth group, because their friend stood up, so their friend stood up. Don't let it be just some passing fad or some kind of a weak attempt to reach out for you, Lord. Let it be real in their hearts and lives. Let it transform them. Let it be now, the beginning of their sanctification, the beginning of their walk with you tonight. The first day of the rest of their lives. Wash them. Jesus, wash them. Please, Lord. Oh, I love you. I love you. we're going to have a soft dismissal. I'm going to ask my adult leaders to kind of spread around the room. You can go now. Kind of spread yourselves out. And if you're standing, but you need 1 John to come alive in your own heart, you need an opportunity to confess your sins and recognize that He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If you need somebody to pray with you tonight, find one of these leaders. Pour out your soul. Share with them the truths in your life and get prayed for. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. I am with them. So what I'm saying tonight is God is here now and He's ready to meet with you. I love you guys. You're dismissed.